From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone, to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. His show is heard every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. And if you're tuning in for the first time, we are a Boston-based internet radio station with all the bells and whistles so that you can listen to us regardless of where you are in the world, whether you're in a car or in a home. We have the apps, we have Alexa, all of that good stuff, and our shows are also on about 45 podcast directories, so we're everywhere. Bernie has an excellent guest for you today. Her name is Peggy Sullivan. She's a women's leadership speaker, mindset expert, and founder of the nonprofit organization She Can. She also is a best-selling author of Happiness is Your Responsibility. And She Can is a nonprofit organization that utilizes community, continuous learning, and coaching. So not only shape women into individuals holistically, but effective, brave leaders as well. And so over to you, Bernie, and welcome Peggy Sullivan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today, you're welcome.
The 13th, and when I flipped the page on our calendar, I thought it was very appropriate to today's topic. It says, I finally figured out the only reason to be alive is to enjoy it. Rita Mae Brown. And yes, I was brought up with that kind of message from my parents. I mean, they had three answers to every problem, which drove me crazy. You needed to make a decision, do what makes you happy. Ma, can't you help me decide? Do what makes you happy. So my mother was no help. I had to figure out what would make me happy. Then, when something went wrong, God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. Did you hear what I said happened today at school and everything? God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. And boy, God and I talked a lot. And I realized how often that kind of thing happened and how many of the spiritual leaders of our country had parents like that too. And last but not least, because of tragedy in my father's childhood due to his father dying of tuberculosis and leaving six children and nothing, no finances, and oh, it was a disaster. And yet I heard my father say one of the best things that ever happened to me was my father dying when I was 12 years old. So when I was alone with him later that day, I said, Dad, what were you talking about? That made no sense what you said. I've heard your stories. He said, yeah, but it taught me what was important about life, that we're here to help each other. And he was a very giving and caring man. And so again, I can honestly say what makes you happy is up to you. But the benefits are wonderful. And that I saw, I never stopped talking, forgive me, but my wife did stand-up comedy, you know, one-liners. And one night, instead of taking her seat in the audience and her coming up and going to the podium, it was too awkward, so I stayed up on the stage. And I was so impressed by the change in the people physically. How much younger they looked, sitting up straighter, And then I understood why she got more thank yous at the end of the evening. I could talk for 2 hours, and she could make people laugh for 20 minutes, and more people went over to her to say thank you. Because it's the laughter changes your internal chemistry. You have to remember that and know that. So even if you laugh for no reason, it changes you. And I'll take a breath. Peggy, what do you want to tell people?
Well, you've absolutely sent a lot. And I, too, have a story. It's about my mother. She also died very, very young. She had a brain tumor and had to learn how to walk and talk all over again, and then had pancreatic cancer. And I can remember her being in a state of deep depression, and then all of a sudden, one day, towards the end, she wasn't. And I asked her what changed, and she looked at me, and she said, "I get it. Happiness is a choice, and I'm going to choose happy. And I'm going to enjoy the last couple of days I have left." And that really stuck with me, the fact that happiness is a choice. And it is a choice every single day that we can all make. And I really believe that happiness is a muscle. And the more you flex that muscle, the stronger it gets. And the stronger it gets, the more it takes over and the more good things come your way. So I love everything that you just shared with us, the power of laughter, the power of what happens to your brain's chemistry when you start to laugh and have fun and start to secrete those hormones. It is as much physical as it is emotional, and happiness is a superpower.
Right. And I love the line always that happiness is an inside job. I mean, you decide if you're happy.
It is.
Yeah. I was going to say that when my father died many years ago, I came across a story, The Dark Candle, and what it was about was, you know, the family of the man grieving, crying all the time. And I wrote a little story called Buddy's Candle, to get this across to people also, and children especially. But what happens is you're crying so much that the candle in heaven that each new entry gets is put out by the dripping tears. And the end of the story is that the person who died, you know, it's like my father coming to me and said, "You know, you put out my candle. You're always crying." And then the person stops and finds joy again. And that's what we have to remember. And literally, because my wife still communicates with me in many mystical ways. I don't want to take up the whole program. but I visit the cemetery, which is in our town, just a couple of miles away. And, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, as I pulled up to the grave, I could hear my wife say, "Will you stop coming here every afternoon? Go do something nice. Who wants to come to a cemetery every afternoon?" And I knew she was doing that so I wouldn't feel guilty, you know, not coming to say something to her and say, "I love you," and all that. So I'd say that also to people. Don't put out your loved one's celestial candle. Make yourself happy, and they will be happy, too, observing you.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And I saw it also with cancer patients, because this was your message. You know, coaching to help women become holistic, effective, brave leaders. Happiness is your responsibility, is the author, you know, it's the title of your book that you authored. And I saw that too. When people said, "Oh, I'm going to die, then I think I'll start living." You know, lawyers became violinists. People got a dog that they never had before. They moved. They did all kinds of things. I even have a letter from one lady. She did so many things when she learned she was going to die. Her letter ends with, "And I didn't die, and now I'm so busy I'm killing myself. Help, where do I go from here?" I told her to take a nap. But, you know, you change your body chemistry. Yeah, Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. That is your message, you know, to people. You don't like what you're doing on Monday, it's dangerous.
Now, I always think that there are so many things that we can do to step into our happy place. And I have a lot of happiness rituals, and I really encourage people to find their go-to rituals, those things that they can do that don't take time, that don't take money, that just make them happy, because doing them just makes them happy. It could be something as simple as playing with an animal. I've got a 22-pound, very fat Siamese cat, and I walk him. I put him on a leash, and I walk him. I put him in a stroller, and it just makes me happy to watch him sniff outside and breathe and to watch how people respond to him. And there are so many things that we can all do to step into our happy. We need to do that more because it's very transformative, very calming, and very helpful to get those endorphins, the dopamine, the serotonin, you know, going
right.
By doing something that changes our mindset, puts us in a great place. I know this morning when I woke up, I lit a candle because everything's better when you've got pumpkin spice, right? And it mm-hmm. just smells so good and makes me feel so good. And there's so many small things that we can do. I mean, let's face it, it's a difficult time. And there are so many things in life that are happening that are outside of our control, you know, whether it's the politics, the queen dying, COVID, just lots of things that we can't control. And so it's so important that we kind of settle into those things and
right.
really focus in on the things that we can control. And there's a lot that we can control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the only thing that makes a difference is controlling yourself, your attitude. I mean, people have to understand that when you're happy, it changes your body chemistry also. Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses because of how people feel about Monday. And that's why I said my wife had one-liners that were all about relationships. You know, things like your husband calls and says he'd like to have dinner out tonight, so you leave a sandwich on the front porch. You know, and she'd go through those. That was one of her 10 warning signs, like the Cancer Society has. You know, you put your bra on backwards and it fits better. And she'd go through that. And what I found, which was really interesting, I would get up and talk for a couple hours. And the intermission was my wife for, say, 15 minutes making everybody laugh. But at the end of the evening, more people went over to her to say thank you than to me, because how much better they felt from the laughter. I may have been giving them, you know, information, techniques, things of that sort. I mean, I squeezed laughter in too, but still, hers was a steady one after another. And that impressed me. And I started really pointing it out to people. Pay attention to how you feel now and when my wife is done. And more people used to thank her at the end of the evening than me. I mean, I wasn't hurt by it, but I mean, I knew it's because they felt better after listening to her. And I say to people, don't forget that. You know, be a comedian. I mean, let me just say this so you understand what the world is like. And you're not the only one who doesn't feel good or who's depressed. Because, I don't know, I got tired of people saying to me, "How are you today? How are you doing?" They don't really want to know. You know, they're trying to say hello. So when people say to me, "How are you doing?" I say I'm depressed. I'm out of my antidepressant, and my doctor's on vacation, so I can't refill my prescription. The first time I did that, I was offered half a dozen antidepressants from total strangers who heard me say it. And it blew my mind. And the best one I've had happen was at the post office. I'm trying to get the clerks to say, "Hi, you're looking well today." Well, this one said, "How are you today?" So I said, "I'm out of my antidepressant." And the person in line behind me, a woman, poked me in the back and said, "I'm a psychiatrist. Here's my card. Maybe I can help you. I specialize in depression." And I burst out laughing. And everybody in the post office thought, "Oh, he's so rude. He's laughing at the psychiatrist." So I had to explain to everybody, "I'm not depressed. I am a doctor. You know, I'm just tired of everybody saying, 'How are you today?' when they don't really want to hear how I am." So,
well, you bring out a very interesting point, and that is happiness is contagious. When somebody
right.
who's happy walks into the room, they usually light up a room, and that's why it's so important to carry the happiness torch, because it's not just for yourself and all the benefits that you get out of it. Watch other people feed off you and to come into a much more empowering space.
Yeah. And you can feel it in people because, as we're saying, their chemistry has changed. So, you know, I could feel it in patients. When one would walk in, you knew they were going to do well. You know, it's like they radiated healing and humor and health, and it's their chemistry. And others are totally depressed. Yeah, that's something. This may help you if you want to do this with people. When they're not happy, say, "Give me a word that describes what makes you unhappy. If you had one word, what would you give me?" And I don't know what got me started doing that, but I'd get words like failure, roadblock, you know, all kinds of negative things, pressure. And I'd say, "What else in your life fits that word?" And boy, people would give me a look. I knew something was happening in their head. Like the lady who said failure. She said, "My parents committed suicide when I was a failure. When I was a child, I must have been a failure as a child." The pressure was a lady about to be admitted to the hospital with migraine headaches. And I talked to her. And the nurse came over to me a little later and said, "It's her marriage. She's going home to straighten it out." And I found it quite amazing how the illness people had fit what was going on in their life when they came up with a word to describe it. And I include this in my own life. When my wife and I were traveling around the world, you know, lecturing and trying to help people, and I developed vertigo. Every time I'd get up, I'd get dizzy. And so one morning when I got out of bed and felt it again, I said, "Hey, Dopey, you know, don't be a dumbbell. Do what you do with people when you're trying to help them." I said, "All right, what am I experiencing? The world is spinning around." Oh, I realized I was running around the world doing so many things. My body was trying to tell me, "Stop, slow down, take it easy." So I did, and all the symptoms went away. But I found that, you know, so interesting that you can live the sermon too and help yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. There is such power in mindset and positive psychology, which is really what we're talking about,
right.
And the ability to overcome challenge, to overcome stress, to find opportunity. You have the same 24 hours each day, and if you can shift your mindset and to figure out how to turn it into lemonade, no matter what's going on, you will live a good, rewarding life, and life is here for the taking. There's so much beautiful out there. I can remember one time during the pandemic, and I was walking around outside, and I had a business that was thriving on face-to-face contact, and it was during the first 30 days of COVID, and I was wondering, how is my business going to survive? How am I going to survive? You know, everything is shut down for an unlimited period of time. And then all of a sudden, I looked up, and I saw a dog that had a butterfly that he was playing with on his nose. And I stared at it for a little bit, and the butterfly was almost dancing on his nose, and the dog would, like, pick it up, and the butterfly would go up in the air and then come back down on his nose. And I watched this for about 5 minutes, and I write about it in my book, Happiness is Your Responsibility, about how, you know, you really realize, or I realized in that moment, that we have everything we need in life right here, right now, available to us. That dog, you know, his parents were gone. He wanted to play. He had nothing to play with. And yet, he found the butterfly, and he was playing right with the butterfly. And it just, to me, was a beautiful story and a beautiful aha moment to realize that there is joy, there is beauty absolutely everywhere. And when we step out of ourselves and the things that we're thinking and feeling and try to look for something hopeful, something positive, usually right there in front of us.
Yeah, that's why the title of your book really says it well. Happiness is your responsibility. I mean, I've, you know, been a kid with a sense of humor. My sense of humor doesn't get older, let's put it that way. My body does. But the sense of humor pulls me back. And we had a cat named Miracle, named after a cat in a dream that told a lady how to treat her cancer, and she did and got well. And one of our kids brought in a cat, and I said, all right, his name is Miracle. And our house was a zoo. In some of my books, I describe our house. And I mean literally it was a zoo. There were so many creatures of every kind wandering all over the place. I mean, you talk about, again, feeling good or happiness. I'd be sitting on the sofa reading. Rabbit would jump up on the sofa, grab the book in her teeth, and throw it on the floor. And I knew she was saying, pet me, the hell with the book. So we had a routine. But the animals are wonderful teachers, and I got to tell you what I did with Miracle. I entered her in a dog show because she was an incredible cat who was much like all the dogs I had. She would walk with us and hang out with them. And the veterinarian said, this is a dog show. What are you doing? I said, she thinks she's a dog, so I brought her. I don't want to upset her. And he didn't know what to do with Siegel, so he let it stay. And Miracle is in the middle of, you know, dozens of dogs, big 200-pound dogs, and rubbing noses with them. No fear. So she was the hit of the dog show. And I loved
Bernie, if you can hold that thought, we need to take
one sentence,
for
though.
Okay.
The sign went up for the next year's show. At the bottom of the dog show exhibit sign, it said, dog show for dogs only. And I knew he was saying, Siegel, don't bring that cat back.
That's funny. All right, well, we need to take our first break. Everyone stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback. Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 800-944-1001.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Dr. Bernie Siegel's show. If you aren't familiar with Bernie, you need to look him up on his website because he is a pioneer in bringing to the medical world mind, body, spirit. He's a retired pediatric surgeon. He focuses on oncology, and he has done wonders for the medical system, even though we need to keep going in that right direction. If you want to get in touch with him, his website is BernieSiegelMD.com. Again, Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. And our guest today is Peggy Sullivan, and her site is PeggySullivanSpeaker.com, just as it sounds, and Peggy is with a Y, just in case people are looking for the IE, PeggySullivanSpeaker.com. And before we get back, if I may, could you, Peggy, share more information about She Can, you know, the women that you're helping, what you're seeing, because from what I've read, it's successful. And then what you're seeing now with women compared to, say, 5 years ago. What are their needs and what is focus?
I would love to. Thanks for asking. I mean, having a community is vital in today's world. There are so many never-ending challenges and stressors, and we all need a support system, some place where we can grow and thrive and really find our steady state, our vibe, the thing that really is nourishing to us. I started She Can. It's a membership-based nonprofit 4 years ago because I really wanted to give women the tools to step into their personal and professional power, and I really understand that for every woman, that looks a little different, and we are one of the only organizations that does a lot of research on a regular basis to really understand what women's challenges are, what their interests are, what time of day works, and we put together programming virtual and live so that we can help women with these challenges and step into a place that's powerful for them and that feels right and feels good and feels comfortable. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like being a part of a community of women that have your back unconditionally, that you can laugh, cry, grow, and most importantly, learn from. Because if somebody else has done something a little differently and has some tips or tricks on how to save a little energy and step into your power a little easier, you know, chances are we're talking about it and we're sharing those tools. She Can, you can find out more about She Can at theshecannetwork.com. We offer over 80 annual and virtual events on a regular development, and community is just such a beautiful thing. And you asked me about the challenges that women are facing, and your timing is really perfect to ask that question, because what I find is I've been asking women for the last 4 years, what is your biggest challenge? And every year there is the same answer. I do not have time for what's important to me. And I call that busyness. And I'm actually writing a book on it. I call it busy is a four-letter word, because, you know, we're all obsessed with being busy, and being busy is a status symbol. And you ask somebody how they're doing, they don't say, I'm doing great. They say, oh, I'm so busy. Or that doctor, he doesn't have time for me. He must be so good. He's so busy. And so we all sort of really prioritize and idolize busyness, but really busyness is just not a good thing for our physical and mental health. And there's a much better way, and I call it a values first philosophy, where you take a couple of moments and really go back to your core values, figure out what they are, and live an architecture that focuses on the three or four things that really light you up and bring you joy. And it's an amazing practice, and it's an amazing way to kind of get off that treadmill of running so hard and so fast. And I get it. I know what it's like. I can remember there was a time in my life where all I did was eat, work, sleep, repeat, and it got so bad. One time I came home from work, I was hungry, I was tired, I grabbed some food for the cat, went to feed the cat, went to eat some pistachio nuts myself. I woke up a couple hours later to my cat throwing up pistachio nuts, and me realizing I had eaten a handful of cat food without even realizing it.
Realizing, yeah.
A lot of people are on that treadmill, right? Where you're just running so hard, and you want to figure out how to get off. How can I lead a life that is more fulfilling?
Well, let me tell you, the message I saw, I realized, was what my mother was telling me as a child: do what makes you happy. Because people with cancer, AIDS, all kinds of diseases, said, oh, I put this on my refrigerator. Let your heart make up your mind. So for the first time in their life, they really paid attention to what felt right. Not what do I think I should do, what will impress everybody, but what would make me happy.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, it's interesting because I obviously wrote a book on happiness. And the one thing that I found is that there are a lot of people out there that do not know what makes them happy. And
right.
If you were to ask them to make a list of easy, low-hanging fruit that brings you joy, a lot of people couldn't answer that, which is really quite sad, because the power of happiness, I always say happiness is such a superpower. It can heal sick people, it can fight chronic disease, it can improve energy. It just has an amazing capacity that very little else in the world does. And you need to know what makes you happy, those small little go-to things. And you mentioned humor. Humor is a great thing.
Right.
You know, there are so many other things. The power of smell, the power of getting a good night's sleep. So many things we can do for ourselves.
Just nature,
that
everything.
Can,
happiness
yep.
is an inside job. Got to remember that.
Yep.
Yeah, and to follow that. And that's why that you don't let your parents impose things upon you. I mean, I keep bringing up our wonderful Donald Trump. What he's like is related to his parents and what makes him happy. And I'm sure that, well, I sent a letter to USA Today when he was first running for the president. I said, what people need to do is just say to him, I love you. Mm. That's the power, see, that can change him. I love you. And I've done that to people who were violent, all kinds of things. I've just gone up and said, I love you. I'm sorry your parents don't. And one young lady made me her CD. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're my chosen dad. And I know I have saved lives by using her advice. I've become a chosen dad for suicidal people. I said, I love you. I'll be your chosen father. And once they know somebody loves them, their whole life changes. And then they can find, you know, their happiness. I mean, one more story. A woman came in, talked for 2 hours without stopping. And at the end, she said, thank you. That's the greatest conversation I've had with anyone. And I hadn't said anything. But I listened, and she got all the troubles out of herself. And that's what we need to do for each other also. Listen. Help guide people. I mean, I've had people come in and say, and I'd say to them, look, you're punishing yourself with surgery. You don't really need the surgery. You need to change your life. And boy, I would get a look from those people like, oh my God, he knows. And the funny part was the insurance company wrote me and said, we don't pay surgeons for talking. I said, if you'll see how much you've spent in the last 6 months, I saved you a lot of money versus if she had an operation every 2 months. So they told me to go on and keep talking. But, you know, you could see it in certain people. They're really looking, in a sense, for the parent, for the love, for feeling worthwhile. And once you instill that in them, then their whole life changes.
Well, it's got a lot to do with how we deal with stress, right?
Yes.
And, you know, it's a stressful world. And I always tell people with stress, you know, there's the normal reaction, which is fight or flight. But maybe there's a third reaction, and that is all about settling in. And, you know, just reminding ourselves, first and foremost, we can do hard things. We have all done hard things in our life. Number two, asking for help is a power play, and yeah, that if you can figure out how to do that, it'll game change your life. And then I think the third thing that's so, so important is take a few minutes for me time, regroup, recharge. You know, we all feel like we can run on fumes, and you need gas in the tank, and there are so many things you can do, and if you take these little 15-minute break, do something that makes you happy. Spend some time with your fur baby. You know, go out and breathe the fresh air. You know, go eat a banana. So many small things that
yes,
you can do that, I mean, you're laughing at that. I had an overworked
banana. Right, I love
banana.
Well, there's so much potassium and vitamins and iron and all the good things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had an overripe banana, and I ate it this morning, and it was so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was in my happy place, just like I am when I eat dark chocolate. You know, it just got
mm-hmm.
my endorphins going. And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost a lot to step into your power and to find your happy place. And
mm-hmm.
community is a great way to pull you out of any funk that you're in. When you've got a community who has your back, and who can help you and is there to support you, that's the best gift in the whole world. And I think it's one of the best ways for people to find a new way in life and find, some meaning and some power.
Yeah, when you pet
very good.
A furry
but we need
creature,
to take our next break.
Well, one sentence. When you pet a furry creature, it changes your endorphin levels. So
yep.
You bond to other people, too. And
absolutely.
As a matter of fact, one study, then I'll stop. Women who met a man walking a dog versus women who met a man.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel
walking.
On Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Get a dog.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, Daily Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Have you ever longed to physically communicate with animals? Is there a way to understand what dogs, cats, horses, and even wild animals are thinking and feeling? Now you can explore the universal language of all species and other animal communication skills. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Soul Level Animal Communication with Danielle McKinnon at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, August 26th to the 28th. Learn more at eomega.org.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. I wanted to give out the name of Peggy Sullivan's book again. It's Happiness is Your Responsibility. And her website is PeggySullivanSpeaker.com. And you can look up SheCan.com, which is, or .org, is it, Peggy?
It's TheSheCanNetwork.com. So it just, as you hear it, PHESHECANNETWORK.com.
Okay. And it is a nonprofit. Okay, so back to you, Bernie.
Well, I have to tell you this one, because a sense of humor shows survival. Imagine getting an email from one of your children. Life sucks. Most people suck. If you wake up one day and the world's beautiful and everyone loves one another, you're dead. And I never forget that. For me, that's he's a survivor. And one other time, we dismantled his bed. When I say we, the other four kids and I, because I was trying to get him to go away to college and learn something and, get a job and all that stuff. So we dismantled his bed when he was out of the house. And he went into his bedroom, and we were all waiting for him to yell and, say something, nothing, not a sound. Next morning he came out and he said, "Thank you, my back feels much better." And everybody in the house laughed. And that's a survivor. So keep your sense of humor and help it with others too. Well, one more. Five kids are fighting in the kitchen. Two of them have a hearing impairment due to exposure to German measles in pregnancy, my wife's pregnancy. And I walked in, I said, "You can choose peace or you can choose conflict." And our daughter, who has the hearing impairment, said, "I'll have pizza." And everybody busted out laughing. And it's still working 30 years later, because if I ever walk up to them and say, "I'll have pizza," you know, they all laugh and quiet down. And and I say, don't ever forget the value of humor and love. Love and laughter. I always say, put people in hell. The love and the laughter make an enormous difference.
Oh, they sure do. I've got a story that kind of falls into line with that. I live in Palm Beach, and I can remember one time going grocery shopping, and there was an elderly woman who was really struggling with her cart and struggling to walk. And I offered to walk with her and to help her with her grocery shopping. And we had a lovely conversation, and I learned everything about bananas ripening and how to choose a loaf of bread and all of this fun stuff. But at the end of our grocery shopping experience, she reached into her bag to use food stamps to pay for her groceries. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to pay for them. And she was so grateful and so thankful, and I gave her my business card and said, "Look, you need any help shopping in the future, you give me a call." Well, she called up all of her friends and all of her relatives, and that small, random act of kindness came back to me day after day after day after day after day. I got 22 phone calls from her family and friends thanking me for being so kind to her. So I agree with you. You know, helping other people, random acts of kindness, there just isn't enough of that in the world. And there's something beautiful about what I call a helper's high and being able to help somebody else just for the sake of doing something good for somebody else.
Right. It fills us up with love.
To a young man who was acting violent in the street, and I had asked the cop to talk to him, and he said, "It's not my job." I couldn't believe a police would answer that way. But I went over to the boy with our kids yelling he could have a gun, and I just said, "I want you to know I love you. I'm sorry your parents don't." He stopped all his noise, turned, and went home. And I'm sure he went into the house and said something to his parents about their lack of love and what it meant to him. So keep love as a weapon. And love and laughter, I'd say, are the two best weapons when you're having a problem with someone.
Positively. And that gets back to your core values and really, you know, obviously love and laughter are two core values of yours, and I respect that. When you know your core values and you make sure that they are a part of everything you do, life just gets so much better, and life is just so, it's so basic. When you get back to your core values, you can really start to live a really well-lived life. And I love the fact that you really know and understand what nourishes you and really what you find rewarding and wonderful.
Yes. And not only, I might as well say, it's not only the people who are living, but the people who have died. Because I still get signs from my wife, mostly in numbers. She was born on 9/9, so that shows up. Oh, let me tell you, I went to the hospital because my heartbeat went irregular. And my number for the hospital was an 8, which is a new beginning. That's the meaning of the number 8. But all the others were 6-6-3-3-9-9. Everything added up to 9s. And I knew she was saying, you'll be fine, don't worry. And I'd say, your loved ones are still with you. And you can feel it. So open to it. Let them come. Let them help you. Even in the morning, I go nuts. It's so weird and mystical.
Yeah, it is.
I can hear a message in my head saying, it's time to get up. And I open my eyes and look at the clock, and it'll be 9-9, you know, or it could be a 5 and a 4 for a 9. But it's always some symbolic number. And so look for signs that
3-3-3
are still with you, too.
Mm. Yeah, I believe we never lose the people we love. That you can always close your eyes and run memories back that bring you joy, bring you delight, bring you warmth. You know, my father was so influential to me, and he always used to say, a day without learning something new is a lost opportunity. And every day when I learn something I didn't know how to do before, or I feel like I'm doing something new and different, you know, I think of my dad, and I think about him saying, "Oops, you're learning something. That's good. Don't lose the opportunity to grow."
Yeah. And, you know, that's why I like the title of your book is really very powerful. Happiness is your responsibility. If you don't have the right parents, happiness is your responsibility. Because think of all the violence. You know, kids shooting other kids, doing all kinds of bizarre things at schools and other places. It's your choice. Happiness is your responsibility. So tell people I love you and love yourself.
And know your happiness rituals. I'd say that's the third thing. Know those go-to easy little things that you can do to ignite your happiness, whether it's dancing in your underwear first thing in the morning, you know, just whatever little things that you do that really help you step into that happy place. Know what they are and do it often, and you'll see a big change in your life.
One more vital story. I was an artist as a kid, and I didn't know you could earn a living making, you know, pictures that you could sell them. So I've kept painting my whole life. And I would get our kids and pets, when I'd come home from the hospital, I'd say, all right, you, sit. I'm going to paint you a portrait. And one day I came home, and the herd, that's the 5 kids and all our creatures, and there were dozens of them, were running away from the house. So I yelled, what's wrong? Is there a fire? No, we don't want to sit for you. We're tired of sitting. I said, I'll put up a mirror. I'll paint myself, my own portrait, so you can come back. And they all turned around and were so happy and came back in the house. But I painted myself in a cap, mask, and gown as a surgeon. So if you come in the house, you don't know it's me. And it took me a long time to realize, because I called it the High Priest, that which is a crazy name for a portrait of a surgeon. But what I learned from it all with time was I was covering up all my feelings. They were stopping me from being happy. I mean, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was my therapist, because I drew a picture and used a white crayon on a white piece of paper. And she said, what are you covering up? The paper's already white. You added a layer. And wow, between that and the portrait, I realized, yeah, I got to uncover. And to quote Jung, because I shaved my head the same year I drew I painted that portrait, he said monks shave their head as a way of being a symbol of uncovering their spirituality. And then I realized why I named the painting a High Priest. I mean, it's amazing what goes on within us. So I'd say people need to read your book, know happiness is their responsibility, and start making changes and doing things.
Yeah, and there's so many things that people can do, so many small things, big right. things. The book is chock full of lots of advice. And, you know, for me, I wrote it during COVID when there were a lot of unhappy people out there. And I really felt as though there are so many things that we can all do to ignite our happiness and to be grateful and to be thankful. And if the world could do that a little more, what a different place and space this world would be.
Yeah, it all starts with each one of us.
That's why I say, use love as your weapon. Next time somebody's yelling at you, say, I love you.
Yes. Well, that's a beautiful way to end the show, Peggy and Bernie. Thank you for coming on Bernie's show, Mind Health Matters. And everyone, get the book, Happiness is Your Responsibility. And until we meet again, bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.